Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
At 6:30 this morning, I woke up and I looked over to my right and I saw my beautiful baby girl. And I thought to myself, we've always had a bit of trouble with these Saudi Arabia shows, haven't we? If you go back into the archives of Rust Talk, you will see that Ollie and I didn't actually review the Greatest Royal Rumble, not only because of political reasons, but also we thought it's probably going to be irrelevant. And, you know, history has shown that we were pretty much correct on that. Where's that green belt? And then, you know, other things started to happen. The murder of Jamal Khashoggi certainly made things very, very awkward. It is a place who have beliefs that do not agree with my own. Certain family members that I have would be murdered over there just because of their sexual orientation. And then you couple that with awful, terrible wrestling shows that they often are, lest we forget Brock Lesnar completely burying Ricochet, Shane McMahon being the best in the world, Undertaker versus Goldberg, Goldberg beating The Fiend, lest we forget Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement for one of the worst wrestling matches I have ever borne witness to. With all of that said, hey, Crown Jewel 2021 was all right, wasn't it? It was a pretty good show. Welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Luke Owen, D-A-D, and I'm joined by my very, very good friend. I'm so thrilled to have him on the show once again, SP3. How are you, my friend?
I am doing great. This is the dad edition of the Wrestle Talk podcast. We reminisce off dad experiences. I got to rewind back a year ago when I was a first-time dad and talk to Luke about it before we went live. And now we get to talk about arguably, and I hate to say it, one of the best WWE pay-per-views this year.
Easily.
Cringeworthy to say that because of where it is and everything that Luke just went over, but I think that it's really in the running, honestly.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, as someone has just pointed out in the comments there, an incredibly low bar to leap over in terms of the best Saudi Arabia show ever. Very low bar. You could trip over the bar. It's that low. But they leapt over that bar to easily put on, easily the best Saudi Arabia show they've ever done. Secondly, I thought it was better than SummerSlam. I thought it was better than both nights of WrestleMania. I think this is easily WWE's best pay-per-view they have done this year. And I was listening to a podcast this morning while I was in between doing work and stuff. I was getting ready for the day, and I was listening to a podcast that was talking about Walt Disney. And they were talking about, it was a podcast that was kind of reflecting on Walt's death and what that had meant for the Walt Disney brand and sort of the animation and stuff. And they were talking about on there that the host of the show was saying, a lot of Walt's political stances are not ones that I particularly agree with. I am not he has done and he has said some things that I think that are regrettable and certainly not that I would agree with. But I can separate that from, you can't deny, of the impact that he has had on animation, Hollywood, film. You can't deny that legacy. Theme parks, like, you know, you can't deny that legacy, right? So as an adult, as a man who was in my mid-30s, nearing into my late-30s now, creeping towards that 40 mark, I am now a dad. I am able to separate the two things. So yes, while I do not agree with the Saudi Arabia politics and the way that they conduct themselves politically, I don't agree with a lot of their those values, I can look at this as a wrestling show. And as a wrestling show, boy howdy. Tita B, top to bottom.
Yeah.
I can only think of one match on this card that was a bit of a dud, which was the Queen. I haven't been watching for a month. It's the Queen's Crown Tournament. Is that what it's called?
Yes, the Queen's Crown Tournament. And even that, I know you haven't been watching for a month. They had a low bar to exceed. It's the best match of the Queen's Crown Tournament.
I haven't seen any of the matches in the lead up to it. I've heard that they were basically TikTok videos, but I hadn't actually seen it. But yet, like, that was pretty much the only dud on the card. And even then, weren't bad. It wasn't, like, terrible. It was like 3 minutes and they were gone.
Yeah, it was about, I think, just short of 6 minutes, which also, I should tell you, that doubles the amount of time that the other tournament matches received. So it had a low bar, like I said, to exceed. But, like, we'll get into when, after the, like, first match on the main show, I was like, this is the best Saudi Arabia WWE match I've ever seen. And then someone asked me, what was the previous best Saudi Arabia match I've ever seen? I was like, I don't know.
Is it Mansoor versus Cesaro? Is that the best Saudi Arabia match?
You might be right. I would say one of the Mansoor matches, either the one against Cesaro or the one against Ziggler, were pretty good. But even that, like, that's like if we're doing it on the Meltzer scale, that's like three and a half stars. And we had probably
I might be pushing it.
We had probably 1, 2, and 3, the three best Saudi Arabia matches on this one show.
Oh, yeah. The Hell in a Cell match that kicked us off with Edge and Rollins. Dude, that match slapped. It was so good. The triple threat for the SmackDown Women's Championship was amazing. And, like, Drew versus Beige, I wasn't hugely into, like, the build that they had done for it, because I'm so over the can they coexist. Like, I was listening to podcasts. Like, I wasn't watching the shows, but I was listening to WrestleTalk, I was listening to Fightful, I was listening to Going In Raw. I was listening to as many podcasts as I possibly could to review the show. And I was like, yeah, I'm not into that whatsoever. But man, once those two got in the ring and that bell rung, I was like, this is wicked. It's so good. And, like, the main event, Lesnar Reigns, aside from that finish, was real good.
Another one where they didn't have the highest bar to exceed, but I would say just behind, like, WrestleMania 31, arguably one of the better Brock and Roman matches. Like, when you think about WrestleMania 34 and SummerSlam, those weren't really matches. At least they gave us about 12 minutes. We had a very creative finish to it with Heyman getting involved. So there was a lot to like on this show. And like I said, it had that feeling that you got on with Money in the Bank when the fans first came back. You could really tell the Saudi Arabia fans really were, like, amped for them to be there. Like, I had to just rewatch the kickoff match, and their energy for that was on 10 even before the main show even starts.
You remember, like, going back to the Greatest Royal Rumble, when it was, like, a really, because they had that sort of, like, sofa area, like, on across the hard cam and stuff, and there were just people who were just on their phones or just sort of walking back and forth and just chatting amongst themselves and being like, this is a really weird crowd atmosphere. Like, it's kind of hard to get into the wrestling because, like, a lot of this is so bizarre, right? Yeah. But this crowd, man, like, this felt like one of the better crowds I think WWE has had all year long. Like, you know, crowds have been hot for certain things, like, you know, like, particularly that Money in the Bank you mentioned, like, you know, first night back, fans are in the audience, everyone's, like, amped for things. But we have had some WWE shows since fans have come back where it's like, this crowd don't seem like they care. Like, they're here, but I don't think they're that bothered that they're here. This crowd were here and they were loving it from the moment that kickoff match happened between the Usos and the Hurt Business to the very end of that show when Roman Reigns held aloft the Universal title. And, you know, after retaining it, the crowd were, like, at a 10, possibly 11, all night long.
Yeah, just the energy, especially like with what you just said with the SmackDown Women's Championship match, like just their energy, like you could tell they really were, they felt like it was very special, that type of matchup, because, you know, we know the history with women's matches in Saudi Arabia, and they just, the women went out there and they felt that energy, and it was just a great moment, a great crowd, and like we just said, up there with Money in the Bank. I definitely say it sees SummerSlam. So, WrestleMania Night 1 is probably in the running for one of the better shows. But yeah, like we said, it's in the running. Top three WWE matches of
easily.
The year. I mean, WWE pay-per-views of the year.
Easily. So if I was to put you on the spot, like before we like run through the whole show and everything, if I was to put you on the spot and say your match of the night, what are you thinking?
I'm going to go with the Hell in a Cell, because like they actually had a bar to set, because their SummerSlam match stole the show. Their Madison Square Garden match was one of the better SmackDown matches of the year, and they exceed both of those. I would say it's in the running. It's in the top three conversation with the WrestleMania triple threat with Bryan, Roman, and Edge, as well as Walter and Dragunov from TakeOver 36 as the best WWE match this year.
Man, Edge this year has just like, this has been, because, you know, we were all really excited for him to return last year, right? Yeah, the return of the Rumble, we were like, that's awesome. And then he had that WrestleMania match with Randy Orton, which I think is still going on to this day. And that one good. And then he got injured in the Backlash, greatest match ever. Like, it was a match that was hampered by the branding, right? And then this year, this return that he's had in 2021, like I think this is the actual Edge return now.
Yeah.
Because you're right, like he had a great Rumble. That WrestleMania main event was so, so great. And then this series with Rollins, aside from the Rollins house invasion stuff, can't fault it. And like as a trilogy of matches, muy buen. I've been so into it.
And this actually felt like a Hell in a Cell match that it really felt like one, like for the first time in years. Oh, go figure. You don't put a Hell in a Cell match on the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, and it actually feels like it's necessary to have a Hell in a Cell match. But like the callbacks that they had to Edge's pass in Hell in a Cell, to Rollins' pass in the Hell in a Cell, to their previous matches. This is everything that I want in a major matchup. And I 100% agree with you. Like, put Edge's 2020 in a bin and act like it didn't exist. We had the Royal Rumble return, and then he got in, and then we had the Royal Rumble return, and then the night after with the angle with Randy Orton, and then he was out for a year. Let's just pretend that like that happened, and then he came back this year, because this feels like a very necessary run for him.
Yeah, I was a massive fan of that match. I think like if I was to pick a match out for the night, that was the triple threat for me. I adored that triple threat match. Baggy t-shirts aside, it's hard, and I feel bad for them wrestling in those baggy t-shirts, particularly because they've got the bodysuits on underneath, but they have to wear that's it is what it is. There's nothing we can really change about that. And they're so great. Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch are so great that halfway through that match, I stopped focusing on the t-shirts. And I didn't notice it, because I was so invested in what they were doing and the story that they were telling. That is how great they are at doing this.
Yeah, I was really like blown away, because the shirts and the baggy t-shirts, it throws me off at the beginning, and it definitely threw me off with the Zelina and Doudrop matchup. But yeah, I just totally ignored that. Bianca Belair was unreal with her strength. That one arm gorilla press slam was ridiculous. Becky Lynch selling was on point. Sasha Banks is one of the greatest female wrestlers of all time, and she proved that again here. And I would put it like, if it wasn't for Edge and Rollins, this would be, you know, the blow away match of the night. But I would put it right up there with Bianca and Sasha for the WWE Women's Match of the Year.
This episode of the WrestleTalk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Podcast is brought to you by our good friends at manscaped.com, the global brand for men's grooming and hygiene products. Keep your undertakers nice and trim with the all-in-one kit that makes manscaping easy, using the Lawnmower 4.0 waterproof electronic trimmer. Plus, for a limited time, when you order the Perfect Package 4.0, you'll get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag and the Manscaped Anti-Chafing Boxer Briefs. Now, let's talk about these boxer briefs, because boy howdy, are they some comfy pants? For years, I've been the guy who buys comedy underwear with cartoon or video game characters because, hey, I'm a cool dad in my mid-30s, but they aren't really that comfy and are also slightly embarrassing if you're trying to get in the mood, if you catch my very unsubtle drift, but not with the Manscaped ones, which I am legit wearing right now, because not only are they super comfy and look great, they have optimal temperature control with their crop cooling technology. The waistband is also super elastic to reduce chafing and rubbing, and with sizes up to triple XL, you'll know that there will be a fit for you. Go to manscaped.com/WTTV and get 20% off with free international shipping with the promo code WTTV. That's manscaped.com, promo code WTTV for 20% off and free international shipping. Thanks to manscaped.com for sponsoring this episode, who are keeping your balls lovely. Let's get into your Ultra Chats based on this. You can join in the conversation, wrestletalk.com/support. It's my first podcast back in over 4 weeks. It feels weird. I'm going to level with USP3. I mean, you know this because you were sat at the back end waiting for me. I arrived to this show about 20 seconds before we went live. Because I had my lunch a bit late. And I was watching an episode of Taskmaster on last night's Taskmaster, in fact, on TV. And my wife said to me, "Was like, when are you going live?" And I said, 3 o'clock. And she was like, "Are you going to have time?" And I was like, "I mean, the show will end soon." Oh, it ended. And I literally ran upstairs. And I sat down and I was like, "I'm not ready. I haven't set my screen up or anything." I'm feeling a bit like all over the show, to be honest. But thank you all so much for joining us. But hey, after this show is done, 4 o'clock, I want you to go and head on over to the main Wrestle Talk channel, because Ollie Davis's punishment video for losing the last series of Wrestle League, him doing his cover of the classic Fozzie song Judas, will be going live on the Wrestle Talk channel at 4 p.m. I've seen it, and it's pretty glorious. And of course,
Wrestling Daily, as well as P3. Got to put you over as well, my brother. But let's get into your Ultra Chats. Bezo Banks says, yay, Luke. Can't believe I enjoyed this show. But WWE had the best opportunity this week to give Bianca the Raw title and Sasha the SmackDown title and do Belair Banks 3 at Survivor Series. Faithfully decided not to do that. Probably gives a title swap and Becky Charlotte 6,000. So what do we do with those titles now? Because as Bezo Banks pointed out there, Raw star Becky Lynch has the SmackDown Women's Championship and SmackDown star Charlotte Flair is on SmackDown tonight with the Raw Women's Championship. I've heard a lot of people talking about renaming them, doing the belt swap, this and the other. Where do you stand on this?
I would love for the renaming. I would love for them to do a title unification. You know, you can sell some more Becky 2 belt shirts, of course, but I always with WWE, I don't go with what I want. I don't go with my heart. I think with my brain. I've learned over 30 years, you can't put those type of expectations on WWE because you're working to disappoint yourself. So you have to think like WWE, we're just going to get a title swap. We'll get a matchup at Survivor Series, which is the match a lot of people wanted before Becky returned. They wanted her to go to Monday Night Raw and verse Charlotte Flair. So we're going to get that at Survivor Series. So that's all fine and dandy. But I would love for them to rename the belts. The WWE Women's World Championship, WWE Women's Universal Championship. And therefore, you could switch it at any point. Like, you could switch the WWE and the Universal Champion at any point. You could switch the Intercontinental and the U.S. Champion at any point. I would love for them to do anything to avoid what happened last year with Street Profits and New Day, but that's the route that we're going towards. And that's the route that I assumed they were going to go with as soon as Charlotte Flair was drafted to SmackDown.
I would like to see them not really. What I would like to see is Becky just be across both shows. You know, she is basically just going to SmackDown and be like, I'm the SmackDown Women's Champion. Like, you can't stop me from coming here. Yeah, I'm technically your Raw star, but like, it's a way for you to get Becky and Charlotte on both shows, which would probably be the networks True. Would probably love. So I could totally go with something along those lines. Renaming is certainly an option. I could see Survivor Series, Becky versus Flair, title for title, whether you do it as a winner takes all or you do it as a 2-4 match where you have both belts on the line and then you can essentially do this title switch that way. There's some fairly options there, but I can't see them doing the title switch, like the handing over the Street Profits. They can't. There's no way they do that, right?
It's gonna happen. Like I'm unfortunately like these are the type of things. There's certain things on this show where I was like, this is gonna happen, right? The title switch. You know, we'll get into it, but Goldberg beating Bobby Lashley, I was like, we never did get Goldberg versus Roman Reigns, so Goldberg wasn't drafted to a show. It's an easy opponent for Roman. You only got one other guy in Drew McIntyre to verse him on SmackDown, so you might as well get that match out of the way as well. So, yeah, there was a lot of things on the show that I was like, I hope this doesn't happen, but I know WWE, it's going to happen.
Charles Berg, who did note in the chat that he's a bit salty with his message today. But listen, we've got to say, Charles, the show being good is irrelevant to me. They could put on the best pay-per-view ever. It still wouldn't wash away the putrid iron stench of blood that drips off each dollar that lines Vince's pocket. Greed will always dictate what Vince does in life. I mean, you're not wrong. Absolutely not wrong with that.
I've been saying it for years. WWE cares about the bottom line. They don't care what any of us think.
Oh God, no. No, we don't matter. Like we are literally the bottom line. We're paying him to watch his products. Simon Satcanoles says, I believe this is Run the Jewels. All the Jewels are slag, the best we've ever had. Pretty sure that's Run the Jewels. I might be wrong on that. The best we've ever had, just a memory, and those shows weren't as daft as they seemed. Not as daft as they seem, my boys, when we dream them up. Plasma PD says, welcome back, Luke. Good to see you. I was watching with a friend, but missed the King of the Ring match because I had to meet with my boss. When I saw his text, I was so, so happy. We will get to the King of the Ring final momentarily, but you did it, guys. You did it. Well, you did the thing. And I'm seeing the outpour of love for Woods getting that King of the Ring is just been, oh, wonderful to see. I submitted my Wrestle League predictions late yesterday to Andy, because I'm bad at my job and I'm running a bit behind on things. And I messaged him and I said I thought it was going to be Doudrop winning Queen's Crown, and I thought it was going to be Woods winning King of the Ring. And he was like, I don't think Woods is winning. And I was like, really? He was like, I just don't think Woods is going to win. I think, you know, I've heard a lot of people thought that Jinder was going to be the one to run to the end. And then I've seen some very, you know, very good arguments to say that Finn has just come off a big Universal loss. Like, do you want to then give him a King of the Ring loss as well? My sure. argument to that is that wins and losses don't matter in WWE. So it really doesn't, like, it doesn't matter if he loses. He could lose 10 matches in a row now and it will just be Universal Champion contender or WWE Championship contender the week after. It honestly doesn't matter. Seth Rollins lost at WrestleMania. The next pay-per-view was challenging for the title. It doesn't matter. But let's get into the show itself, because we do have quite a bit to cover here, including our opening contest of Edge versus Seth Rollins inside Hell in a Cell. I think you and I have said quite a bit on this already, but the spot that I wanted to particularly highlight from this, I think it's the spot that everyone loved, it's Seth Rollins being pushed off the top rope into the cage and then through a table. They've been doing Hell in a Cell matches now for nearing 30 years.
Yeah,
like that's an insane number, right? Like come 2028 or 2027, in fact, it'll have been 30 years that we've been doing Hell in a Cell matches, and you have come up with a spot that I can't recall anyone else doing.
No,
hats off to those two. Thought it was great.
Yeah, I do. It was just so much innovation. The stuff that I loved the most was the callbacks. You had Edge calling back to his 2008 Hell in a Cell match with The Undertaker with the top rope elbow drop with the steel chair. Even Michael Cole bringing it up. Michael Cole acknowledged something from, what, 13 years ago? That's so rare for Michael Cole, who doesn't know the difference between a disarmer and a cross arm breaker. For him to mention something from 13 years ago, it made my Mark Hart so much bigger watching this matchup. You know, Rollins bringing out the toolbox to reminisce from where his character went down a drain in the Hell in a Cell, and you know, the wrench in the mouth, and then the full circle of the ending was the best part for me. Because this whole rivalry dates back to 2014 when Seth Rollins was going to give the stomp to Edge, surgically repaired neck. And then Edge hits the stomp on Rollins on the steel chair to get the victory. This was just a great match, a great blow off. One of the better Hell in a Cell matches that we've seen in the last couple of years. Probably the best Hell in a Cell match by men, I would say, in quite some time, because when I think about all the better Hell in a Cell match, I think about Becky and Sasha. I think about Sasha and Bayley. It's been a while since the men had us like this type of quality inside Hell in a Cell, and Edge and Rollins definitely delivered here.
The only other one I could think of from the men's side of things, and I was a massive fan of this, was Roman J.
That's true.
Title. But that wasn't a match that was about the Cell. Like, that was just a match. Like, that match didn't need to be inside the Cell. Like, that had all the drama, like, inside the ring. This was a match that was a Hell in a Cell match. It needed to be inside Hell in a Cell. The story needed it to be inside Hell in a Cell. And that rules. And I was a huge, huge fan of this. Both of them are on Raw now. I don't know where you go next with Edge. Or Rollins for them. And I thought they would do Rollins Reigns. I really did, but they've moved them across now. They're on separate brands. Where do you see both men going?
I think that we've heard on like the house shows that they've been doing Seth Rollins and Big E. And like you just said, there's a precedent for Seth Rollins losing feuds and then going on to the WWE championship scene. So it would make sense. And that's a good opponent for Big E. Big E just had a couple of good title defenses against Lashley and McIntyre. Rollins is another guy that will definitely deliver that with him. I think for Edge, he's on this kind of like, he wants to verse all the guys he never got to verse. And one of the main guys, you know, we'll talk about later, he lost a big title match on this show, AJ Styles. I would love to see him against Edge might see the writing on the wall and be like, hey, give me Kevin Owens before he gets out of here, so I can have a better match with him and brag about it to Christian when we have our weekly phone calls. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of different guys that Edge can go for. Edge could possibly say that he wants to get back to the WWE title scene because he was very adamant after the win against Seth Rollins at SummerSlam that he wanted to get back to the Universal title since he felt like Rollins screwed him out of that at Money in the Bank. He could say he wants to go for the WWE championship. So there's a lot of different ways they can go about it, but I definitely see Rollins and Big E is one of the next major feuds that they're going to have on Monday Night Raw.
Speaking of the big pops that we got throughout this night, man, when Mansoor was announced from, originally from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, crowd came electric for that. I mean, they came electric for the lad that came out afterwards as well, whose name I will likely get wrong, even though I've got it written down here in front of me. But this was actually one of the matches I was most looking forward to on this card, because I really like Mansoor and I love Mustafa Ali. I think that both these guys were, I was really enjoying their tag team and I was gutted to hear that they'd split them up. And I get why they split them up, so you could have this match here. Yeah. I hope that we do get something out of this. I hope Mansoor does get something out of this. My worry for Mansoor is that he is a party trick for WWE. He is brought out when they have to do a Saudi Arabia show. So like there's every chance he could Damian Priest this situation and basically just go missing from TV because he doesn't have a feud now, and then just crop up early next year because they're going back into for February or whatever it is to do another Saudi Arabia show. And I don't want that for him. I would love to see Mansoor get a proper storyline, a proper run off the back of this. Most likely we're just going to get repeats of this match are they on the same show now?
I believe they got moved to SmackDown. I think both of them did.
Or are they both on SmackDown now?
Yeah, I believe so. Because yeah? I'm going to be honest with you. Anybody that got drafted to the other show off the show, I'm not really sure where they're going to be until tonight when I watch SmackDown. But I think they are both on the SmackDown roster because they were a part of the people that are going to be in a separate plane going to the location for SmackDown. So I think it's safe to say that. But yeah, I thought this match was rock solid. This felt like the first time that Mansoor actually had a story going into a match at Saudi Arabia, but I call him the Undertaker of Saudi Arabia events. So I think that they're only going to focus on him, only giving him opportunity ahead of Saudi Arabia events. But we could maybe the next one, I think probably in like March or April, we could see him in like a mid-card title match where he gets a shot at either what US title or the Intercontinental title, depending on what brand he's on, and he gets that victory. And then they have to do something with him outside of these events. So I hope that's where we're going, because he has four victories. He won the Battle Royal, the Cesaro match, the Dolph match, and now this one. He's 4-0 at the Saudi Arabia event. So they need to put focus on that and his winning streak there and, have a payoff with him winning a title. I thought it was going to be maybe him in a tag team championship match with his tag team with Ali at this event, but they went with the feud instead because Vince loves to break up tag teams and have them verse each other and then repeat the matchup over and over again. So hopefully we're leading to something here.
It's because he realized that they had too many tag teams. You know, like how we've all been sitting here saying like, there are no tag teams on this company. And then all of a sudden we woke up and it was like, holy hell, there's 10 tag teams on each brand. It was like, there's what? Split them up because too many tag teams. And also, Ali, it did an incredible job of making Mansoor look awesome.
Yeah.
I want big things for this man. He won't be in the 24/7 stuff because he's now on SmackDown. So there's a good thumbs up. But I would like to see him get something out of this. And then after all of this happened, Mansoor wins with this slingshot neckbreaker. I wrote in my notes here, that was a perfect palate cleanser to the Hell in a Cell match. Wonderful little palate cleanser. And I thought it was terrific. All of a sudden, this lad walks out because Ali beats up Mansoor after the match. This guy walks out and the crowd are like, what's all this here? The crowd are like, I'm not sure what's going on here. And he takes off. I do not know what the correct term is for the headgear. So apologies for that. But he takes it off and the crowd goes ballistic for this guy. Tariq Hamadi, I believe his name, Hamdi, maybe.
I believe you actually got it right on the first try. I think that was good. That was better than what I did on the Wrestling Daily Crown Jewel Pulse show.
Oh yeah, apologies. You've had to review the show twice as well. I was aware of that. I was aware. I mean,
I had a feeling you asked me because you knew that I did that show. So you're like, oh, I don't have to force anybody to watch this show. I already know you watched it.
No, I mean, I figured you'd watched it. I mean, I knew you'd watched it anyway. And I was like, I feel bad that I'm asking him to review it again. But like, Denise has said she can't do it. And I really want to do a show with SP3. But yes, so he comes out and he is I've got it here, silver medalist in Taekwondo at this year's Olympics, boots Ali in the face. Ali does this amazing sell for it. Fun stuff this was. I very much enjoyed this.
Yes, this was the perfect spot for this matchup because you know that Mansoor is going to get a reaction because he's the hometown hero. Then, you know, I was confused when Ali attacked him from behind. I was like, Mansoor not standing tall at a Saudi Arabia event? What's going on here? And then he came out and I heard the reports that they were going to have the gold medalist, the silver medalist who's from there, come out during the show. So I thought it was him originally. Then I just had, I'm doing a watch along on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel and people are saying, oh, it's R-Truth. I'm like, why would it be R-Truth? But I was like, it threw me off a little bit. So when you heard the pop for him, you knew it was the Olympian, and it was a great spot, a great moment for them. And his roundhouse kick was 100% better than Omos's roundhouse kick. So
SP3, I'm gonna stop you right there. I believe Omos has the greatest roundhouse kick in all of sports entertainment. Don't you be disparaging Omos's roundhouse kick of the massive Bucky O'Hare's for podcast listeners. Roundhouse kick, my ass. Apparently as well, I missed this, but apparently Michael Cole kept calling him a karate player.
Michael Cole was just like out there. We didn't even talk about during Hell in a Cell. Michael Cole, when Seth Rollins does the Unprettier, he says that Seth Rollins is stealing Edge's Unprettier. I was like, what? What? So Christian doesn't even exist now. He didn't even exist. He never did that move. It's Edge's Unprettier.
Edge's move now. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's out of continuity now. Had a lovely little in-ring segment with Titus O'Neil and Natalya with some breast cancer survivors. Can't hate on breast cancer survivors now, can you? Even if it is at a Saudi show. Speaking of the greatest roundhouse kick in all of sports entertainment, AJ and Omos went for the Raw Tag Team titles once again against RK-Bro. House show match, nothing bad. It was just a solid house show match, 6-7 minutes or whatever it was. RK-Bro win. Yeah, totally fine.
Yeah, this was just okay. I can't say it was bad. It wasn't that good, but it was just fine for what it was. It felt like a Raw match. We got the RKO out of midair. You got the floating bro to get the win. How Omos was selling a drop in his neck on the top rope for that long. I mean, that's the way they got to do these matches with Omos and AJ Styles. So it worked for me. I have nothing bad to say about it.
I'm kind of done with AJ and Omos as a tag team now, because their matches follow all the same formula, and I'm done with it now. Having said that, I do not want an Omos singles run. What I would like is an AJ singles run with Omos as like the bodyguard there with him, being the diesel to his Shawn Michaels. That I can get on board with.
Yeah, because Omos is not ready yet to be on his own. But if we can get back to where we were at the end of 2020, where he was the bodyguard to AJ, AJ was in the WWE Championship scene. He's another good, great guy to verse either Big E or Edge or one of the. I mean, give me Finn Balor versus AJ Styles for sure. Oh, yeah. But we know that this is AJ's role right now is to groom Omos, because Omos is going to be their guy in like a year and a half or so, which I think even then is pretty soon for him. But I think that that's his role right now, and he's liking the role. He's getting paid good money to be a trainer of sorts.
And also just a couple of corrections. We didn't announce that Matt Riddle came out on a camel. That was his big entrance, and he didn't win with the camel clutch. error there. Should have won with the camel clutch, but you know, you can't have everything.
I love the entrance, right? Especially Randy Orton just walking aside the camel. That was one of the best sights I've seen at a wrestling show all year.
And another correction, Chaz has pointed out, karate player is the proper term, apparently. So there you go. The more you know. Now you know, and knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe. We got a promo video for Charlotte Flair because she's on SmackDown tonight. Then we got the finals of the Queen's Crown tournament, Doudrop versus Zelina Vega. I have very few notes for this. I've just written Vega wins with the code red clean as a sheet. Her cape fell off while she tried to put it on. I was pulling for Doudrop, man. I wanted Doudrop to win.
This is another instinct, Luke, where...
Come on, do the drop. It's great. Everyone loves doing the drop.
Oh, yeah.
Put the belt on her right now.
Well, I kind of had a feeling Zelina was going to win here, because when you look at the King of the Ring tournament, that had two baby faces. There's only one heel throughout two tournament finals. So you kind of have to go with her. And it would make sense for the Queen's Crown tournament that a woman that had one win in over a year would be the one to win the whole tournament. That kind of just describes this Queen's Crown tournament in a nutshell. I did like her around the world DDT on Doudrop. That was a highlight to this matchup. But yeah, nothing much else to say here. And it was safe to say, you know, all the credit to them for being able to, you know, be on a Saudi Arabia show, be two matches, first time ever, two women's matches on a Saudi Arabia show. But this was probably the weakest match of the night.
Yeah, I would certainly say so. Yeah, like I think the Zelina Vega thing, I was thinking about this morning, and it kind of adds up for me, really. Like, you know, everyone said, as she came back and all she did was get jobbed out, and now she's won the tournament. And I'm like, yeah, this is the reward. Because, like, she got jobbed out because she left.
Yeah.
They had a disagreement. She wanted to do Twitch. They said no. So she kind of defiantly, they parted ways. And then she started talking to union reps, and she was talking about unionization and everything like that. Then she went back. Of course she's going to get punished for that. That's the way that WWE operate. Of course they're going to punish you for, you know, going against their own ideals, going against talking about unionization, all this. They had to punish her for that. So of course she loses and loses and loses. And because she doesn't kick up a stink for all of the losing and losing and losing and losing, the reward you get at the end of that is the Queen's Crown tournament. And there you go. Like, I probably should have seen it from the get-go. I didn't know, because I thought Doudrop was going to win, because I wanted Doudrop to win. Like Marge Simpson, I just think she's neat. And I want all the best for Viper. So, you know, it'll be a fun gimmick, but I don't know that for sure. It'll be a gimmick, is what I will say. It'll be a gimmick on Raw. Anything else to add?
I mean, she's going to pretty much be King Barrett all over again, or King Corbin, or King Sheamus. Yeah. I don't see this leading to her winning a lot of matches, but I totally agree with your sentiment that she didn't complain about all the losing. She didn't complain about not being on the 9/11 edition of SmackDown. So this is her reward for it, and I'm happy for her. And if WWE doesn't call her the Queen of Queens, they're losing money. They're leaving money on the table. As a New Yorker, I'm happy to see my New York sister, you know, win something. And Queen of Queens, come on, it's that simple.
That is real good. I'm actually going to put a bit of I'm going to put a conspiracy theory out there now that I've literally come off with at the top of my head. I think they kept off that 9/11 show on purpose as part of the punishment, and see if she complains. She didn't kick up a stink. You get the Queen's Crown tournament. I'm not saying that's true or anything. I haven't heard anything about to that, but I'm just like, it's knowing the way that WWE operates, I can totally see them doing it.
It makes sense. This goes with the WWE playbook for sure.
Bubbles Lashley versus Goldberg was up next. This match made Bobby Lashley look like a total jabroni. Like, this, one of the most protected guys all year long has been Bob Lashley, and then Goldberg just comes out, makes him look like an absolute dick, and then just pins him clean as a sheet. Made him look like an absolute tool. I came out and be like, poor Bob, what did Bob do to upset everyone apart from beat up Gage? I felt real bad for Lashley in this match.
Well, this is the reason why for so many weeks we had our Wrestling Daily. People sent us Ultra Chats like, I want the Hurt Business to get back together. I want the Hurt Business to come back. I was like, leave it alone. Let it go. Stop saying that because you don't want it to happen. Because this is the type of stuff that happens when you beg WWE to bring back something that they killed dead. They killed it at the peak of the Hurt Business being together. They were Raw Tag Team Champions and WWE Champion at the same time. The group had all of the gold and then they ended it. We should have just left it alone. Nope, we kept begging for it to happen. And look what happens. Not only do the Hurt Business lose on the pre-show to the Usos, who are one of the top like heel tag teams on SmackDown, but they're baby faces here because you got to get the pop from the fans on the kickoff show. Then they come out. They get dropped within seconds. They have weapons in their hand. Like, Goldberg didn't even...
They're no match for Goldberg. They're no match for Goldberg's feet. Come on now. A kendo stick versus Goldberg's feet killed Bret Hart with those feet. Like, he's like, what do you think Shawn Benjamin's going to be able to do?
That is true. It did end Bret's career. That is true. That's a good point. But, yeah, he just completely wipes through the Hurt Business. But... I got to give credit where credit's due. This is probably Goldberg's best match since like the WrestleMania 33 or the Dolph Ziggler squash.
Dolph won match 100%.
Yeah, like this was a fun brawl. It went around the ring in swords. Bobby Lashley sold very well for him, but this was his role on the night. We all knew when they had this rematch, when it's not for the WWE Championship, that Goldberg was going to win. He's got to avenge his son. And he killed him with a spear through a table. And the fact that Goldberg did that spot surprised the hell out of me. I did not expect that from him.
That's the biggest bump that man has ever taken in his life.
Certainly, like he went knees first into the table. I didn't even see the table. Like I was doing on the watch along. I was like, oh, he's about to spear him off the stage, and everybody around me's like, no, that's not gonna happen. And I was like, yep, see, it happened. I was surprised myself when I said it, but it happened, and it was a fun little end to the matchup. Bobby Lashley deserves the credit, but I really honestly have no idea where Bobby Lashley goes next on Monday Night Raw now.
I was about to say, well, he can't, because yeah, he's lost to Beige. Like, he lost to Beige conclusively as well. Like, so you can't rerun that. Yeah, I don't know where you go with Bob now. Like, you mean, do you go back into the, like, feuding with Damian Priest or something? Go back after the US title?
He could do that. He could say like he never really lost because he didn't take the pinfall in that triple threat. So he can go out back after that. And that would put over Damian Priest. But that's him just putting over someone else. It's like, I want to see him actually, you know, get something out of all. He was one of the more protected guys during the whole pandemic into, you know, when the fans came back and that dominant win against Kofi Kingston at Money in the Bank. But it's just like, there's really nothing for him, it seems now. Maybe a feud with Edge would be pretty good as well, but I'm just disappointed in all the fans that asked for the Hurt Business to come back. If all you wanted was camera time for Cedric and Shelton, congratulations. Camera time to lose every freaking week.
Yeah, I mean, so when I heard that the Hurt Business were back, I was like, well, I mean, he's feuding with Bob and Bob needs to he's feuding with Goldberg. Goldberg needs to beat up some lackeys. Like, MVP's not there. He needs to beat up some other people. It may as well be Cedric and Shelton. I mean, they weren't even drafted together. Like, they weren't even drafted as the Hurt Business. Drafted as separate picks. What are idiots?
Why would you take them as separate picks? Why? Oh, man.
Like, it's like the New Day. Like, why did you draft them as separate picks? Like, if in a kayfabe world, in a real world where they were like, it's done by Raw executives and SmackDown executives, whoever they may be, and the networks and stuff, what network is looking at being like, well, we could have three guys for one pick, or we could get three guys across two picks? Like, there's no logic behind any of that.
It's like, it doesn't make any sense because you can get the WWE champion, a former WWE champion, and, you know, tag team specialist. Now we know what he did here at this show, Xavier Woods. Or you could just get the WWE champion and let the other brand get the other guy. And then the other brand not only gets the other two of the New Day, they drafted four people with one pick in Hit Row. Like, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't make it make sense. That's all we ask from WWE, and they continue to let us down.
Speaking of Woods, King of the Ring finals, they did it, you guys. We all thought that they weren't going to.
We thought it would be Jinder. We thought it would be, I don't know, someone else. We thought it would be Finn Balor. Prince Balor becomes a king, turns heel, what have you. They just gave us Woods. They gave us King Woods. They gave us the thing that we wanted. Thumbs up to that. Very, very happy to see that. The outpouring of love online for it has been great. Like, you know, I saw Cash and Dax were like, you know, from AEW were posting about, they were watching it, and, you know, given the video of Kofi watching the match is heartbreaking. Hannah, one of the moderators over at Fightful, her live reactions to it were just like spectacular to see, because like it's emotional investment in something. So this is what Woods has wanted, and Woods has got the thing that he wanted. I wish it wasn't at the Saudi show, but he got the thing that he wanted. I also wish that the New Day were out there celebrating with him, but, you know, they don't like them as a group, I guess. So I'm happy nonetheless. Thumbs up from me.
Yeah, this felt like a great moment for him. Just the emotion that poured out of him as soon as he got the three count. It was a really good matchup as well. Just under 10 minutes, but it went back and forth. Really good action. Arguably, probably one of his better singles matches since coming to WWE. So this was just a great moment. All hail King Woods, and WWE, for one of the rare times, just gave us what we wanted. It's very rare it happens, so we got to be happy when it does happen. But I'm hoping, because like we said earlier with SmackDown, there's really just Drew McIntyre for Roman Reigns. Use this win to propel Xavier Woods, because you can do a longer storyline, because we know at Survivor Series, it's going to be the WWE champion versus the Universal champion. So you have that interplay there, and then you can develop that into day one, the first pay-per-view of 2022. Make that be Xavier Woods versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship.
I'd love that, because I'd like to see the King of the Ring do something more. Because that's the way it used to be. You won King of the Ring, you got the title shot at the next pay-per-view. You know, as well, like, Lesnar got the belt, how Angle got the belt. Like, this is how you kind of like build and propel your stars. I'd love to see that. He didn't have to win the belt, but you have a really good competitive match against Roman Reigns. I'd love that on a pay-per-view. I think that'd be really, really great. I just hope it's not just King gimmick. Because that's what this usually is, right? Like, it's usually just, you put the crown on, you're called King, whatever. And then you do King stuff for a year. And then, I don't know, Shinsuke Nakamura feuds with you over it for, I don't know, 7 years. And then he wins it and then just gives it back and isn't even in the tournament to win it. What was all that Shinsuke Nakamura balderdash, by the way? Nakamura feuding with Corbin week after week after week in boring matches that Baron Corbin somehow won some of. And then Baron Corbin pinned Shinsuke Nakamura a handful of times this year, lest we forget. And then Shinsuke Nakamura was King Nakamura for a cup of coffee. And then they said on commentary, hey, he just handed the crown back. He's not even in the Smegging tournament. Like, why did he care so much? Why was this on my television, wasting my time? I would like to see something better from the King of the Ring this time round.
I hope. And I think with Xavier Woods, it's just going to be a part of the New Day gimmick. But I thought that his network exclusive or online exclusive interview was very powerful. You know, this was his dream. This was his Kofi Mania. This was his Big E cash in. This is what he's always dreamed. A lot of wrestlers dream to become the WWE champion or, you know, women's champion. But he dreamed to be the King of the Ring, and he was able to achieve that. So I'm very happy for him. If this is just a moment in a vacuum, then great. We can enjoy it. We can celebrate it. Hopefully he gets a celebration with the New Day, or at least with Kofi on SmackDown tonight. But I just hope that it's at least to something more, whether that's Roman Reigns and the WWE Universal Championship, or whether that's against Nakamura, the last person who had the crown and is Intercontinental Champion. There's a lot of different ways they can go with it. Hopefully it leads for something for Woods.
Speaking of Beige taking on Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship match. Oh man, talk about like big men slapping meat. That's what this was. Meaty men slapping meat, and I was here for it. There was this moment when, and like the camera work wasn't all that great through a lot of this. Like the whole show, there were times when they were cutting to the crowd during pinfalls, very, very bad at times. There was a great bit of camera work in this match though, which is when Drew had been thrown to the outside and Big E goes up to do his spear through the ropes, right? So he runs against the ropes and he runs back in, and the camera didn't see Drew get back in and hit the Claymore.
It was wicked. Really, really good. Like, proper, like, oh, man. Genuinely good camera work from WWE and a great near fall. Was that the near fall where he kicked out of it? That was really, really good.
That was the near fall that got me really into this matchup, because I was just like, you know, thought this would be a good match to really elevate Big E and firmly establish him as the top babyface on Monday Night Raw as Drew McIntyre goes to SmackDown. But those near falls, first with Drew kicking out of the big ending, and then that Claymore, like you said, the camera work was exceptional there. And then Big E kicking out really surprised me, because the Claymore has been one of the more protected finishers in all of WWE. So that kick out really told me that they view Big E at a place higher than even I viewed him. So I love this match. This was a heavyweight slugfest. Like you said, big meaty men slapping meat is exactly the type of title reign that Big E wants. He had that with Bobby Lashley inside a steel cage. He had that with McIntyre here. So I love how they're really booking this title reign right now.
I'm so in for it. Like, I feel like I think WWE are behind him. Like, he kicked out the Claymore, man. He beat Drew McIntyre clean as a sheet. I want to see... This is what Kofi never got. Kofi won the belt, and it was a great moment, but WWE didn't want to give him the belt. And so he was treated like a mid-card guy from the second that he won that belt, and he feuded with Dolph Ziggler, and that was about it. He never got this moment. And Beach has got this moment several times over now. Like, I think they are... They're fully behind him, and I'm all here for it. I really enjoyed this. Hey, do you know like how Jamal Khashoggi used to write some really mean things about the Saudi Arabian government? So they tricked him to go to a consulate, and then they murdered him and dismembered his body so they could get out in separate places. Oh, and do you know like how you can just be like, you could be murdered and sort of stoned because you are a homosexual? Anyway, be a star, everyone. They did a be a star campaign in the middle of this show, and it felt well weird.
I was like, what is going on? This is like way to read the room after this. I was like, what timing on that one? Right before the second women's match on the show as well.
Well, do you know who was a star? We're nearing the end of the show now, but I wanted to give a shout out to one of our favorite stars, and that is Mod Mother Jenna. We raised $5,000, over $5,000 yesterday for a breast cancer charity. And Mod Mother not only cut off all of her pigtails and stuff, because she had some hair. Like, you know, we have shaved our heads over like charity streams recently, and it's pretty much just meant nothing, because look at the state of us already. Mod Mother actually had hair, and she cut it all off. She shaved it all off because she raised over $5,000. Shout out to Mod Mother. Shout out to every single one of you who donated as well. Wow, we love every single one of you. You're all stars to us, as are Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and Sasha Banks. My match of the night, SmackDown Women's Championship. Becky Lynch retains with a roll-up on Banks holding the rope, so it wasn't a clean victory. But man, this match was all about Bianca Belair. Like, this match, like, every single spot seemingly was designed to make Bianca Belair look awesome, and she always did.
And that's what they needed to do, because a lot of people, you know, I feel like SummerSlam is not viewed as good as it was. It's always going to be remembered for what they did to Bianca Belair. So they have done a good job throughout, you know, the Extreme Rules match with Becky Lynch, which I thought was well on its way to be a match of the night there until Sasha Banks interfered. And then this match here with the crowd so invested, the crowd reacted to Becky like she was over and a top star. They reacted to Sasha like she was a top star, and Bianca Belair just looked like a top star from one arm gorilla press slam to Becky with the double disarmer, and Bianca lifts both women up on her back. Like, I was like, this match is awesome. There was so many spots where they just highlighted how powerful Bianca Belair was. The deadlift suplex on Becky as well. There was just so many stuff to call out, and it was all about Bianca Belair putting the spotlight on her. And then she doesn't take the pin as well. And it's just like, why didn't they just have her beat Charlotte on Monday Night Raw? Like, she's on Monday Night Raw. That would have been a good moment there as well. They were well on their way to having one of the best TV matches of the year there. And her coming in as Raw Women's Champion and then not losing here, I think would have meant a little bit more. But I love how they put over Bianca here.
I was, of the little bit of wrestling I did see, I watched like some clips on YouTube, right? I didn't watch a full. That's a lie, actually. I watched the draft episodes and I basically just sort of fast forward. I got through Raw in about an hour, basically, on BT Sports. But one of the things that I did see when I was watching Bianca wrestle, and I was thinking about this when I was watching this match as well, the Four Horsewomen have got a reputation, right? Like, they have got a reputation for being like the best. Becky and Sasha, you put those two in there, they're going to have a great match. You put Becky and Charlotte in there, they're going to have a great match. You put Banks and Bayley in there, they're going to have a great match. Basically, that four combination, like perfect Lego blocks. No matter what combination you put them in, it's always going to build something strong. Bianca Belair wasn't part of that Four Horsewomen, but feels like she was. Because like she is like, you just slot her in there with any one of those four and she puts on a fantastic match. Like, she's been doing it for years, and she hasn't been doing it for years. She has not been doing this for very long, but she feels like she was with them in NXT those 7 years ago. She feels like she just belongs. A absolute megastar she is.
They protected her so well, and we should say congratulations to her on becoming the number one in the PWI Women's 150. I believe she's the first African-American, period, to be number one in the PWI. Really? And especially the women's, I believe the women's, because I don't think Sasha Banks had won it before. Bayley won it last year. I'm not sure about the year before that, but I don't even remember really on the PWI 500. Maybe the Rock was number one year, but to be the first female to do it is exceptional. A great job by her, and what a year she had, like winning the Royal Rumble, then the main event of WrestleMania. Oh, Awesome Con, yeah, that was a good shout. Joe Hansen in the chat, Awesome Con, yeah, she was number one in 2008, but first one in 12-13 years. That's something to not to be, you know, shy about either. And just a great year. She deserves it, and I just hope that on Monday Night Raw she continues this push in this upward trajectory that she's on.
And our main event was Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns Universal Championship. I'm going to echo what you said earlier. This is probably the best Roman Reigns match we've had. So the best Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match we've had in a long ass time. Like, I think the whole promotion of this is like, this could be the best WWE match of all time, Michael Cole kept saying. And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't count your chickens before they hatch there, Michael. However, really, I mean, this match did not go very long. This was, it felt like less than 10 minutes, maybe 10 tops. And they just went in there and they just did all their stuff. Like, it was, you know, F5 attempts, the spear attempts, suplexes out the wazoo. Roman Reigns' dive that he did over the top ropes, his big Undertaker dive, was spectacular stuff. I did not like the finish, though. It was an F5 into Charles Robinson, the referee. So the ref didn't see the pin. It made the referee look like a dork because, like, why were you standing there, you big idiots? Like, you've seen a Brock Lesnar match before, right, you knob? And he just got wiped out. And then, like, Heyman threw the belt in. And I believe what he said was, I don't know what to do. And then Roman and Brock had the tug of war over the belt again. And I got horrible flashbacks to their WrestleMania build. I'm like, oh God, let's not do this again. Usos hit the super kick. And then Roman hit the spear. I know he hit a belt shot on Brock to retain. Screwy finish. I hated the finish of this. Really, really didn't like it. But it's there to set up the rematch at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But the match was fun.
It was a lot of fun. They hit all their big spots. I like the Paul Heyman throwing the title in between, and he says, you know what to do, but we don't know who we say it. Yeah.
I thought he said, I don't know what to do. That's actually that's really nice. That's a really nice touch.
Yes. And I love him like just turning around. Like, I can't even watch. And then the pictures of them celebrating the bloodline, and he's just standing there like, he's like, looks so distressed. It was great selling after the matchup. But I agree with how the Roman got the pin. after all that Brock Lesnar has been through, after Seth Rollins hitting like 100 curb stomps on him at WrestleMania 35, while Drew McIntyre hitting like 100 claymores against him at WrestleMania 36, he loses from a super kick and a belt shot. That didn't seem too believable. So I do agree with you there. The Paul Heyman part was great, but as far as everything after the fact, that was a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I'm glad you corrected me on that one, because I think that massively improves it. It improves the finish to me somewhat. I still think like the referee bump I did not like at all. And yeah, like you say, like I think him just going down after one belt shot didn't feel very Brock Lesnar-y. But yeah, like they're building to the rematch. That's what this is all about. Like this is just a stepping stone to get to the big matchup, I'm presuming it's going to be at Mania. But really, that overall, fun show. A really, really great paper. That was a great, great pay-per-view from top to bottom. Massively into it. What did you make of it?
I would say a 7.5, 8 out of 10 type of show from top to bottom. The best Saudi Arabia show. I would say right up there with Money in the Bank for the best WWE pay-per-view of the year. And just so much that you could take from it and enjoy. And I love, although I didn't really love the finish for Roman and Brock, it does set up them to continue the feud afterwards, because we don't know what side Paul Heyman is on. So I think all the finishes made sense and it was well booked. And that's not something I can always say after a WWE show.
Let's get into your final ultra chats. Have you got time to still hang around with us? Because I know you've got your own show to be doing.
I got about like 2 minutes, so yeah, okay, we could do
okay. Oh, CM Chris says, hello, SP3, you good egg, and welcome back, Luke DAD. Huge weekend for AEW Dynamite and Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory tomorrow. I'm super excited. I'm going to be exhausted. Subscribe to Wrestling Daily. Danny G said, welcome back, Luke. Looking surprisingly fresh. The stream was fun, but to be honest, it made me watch CJ when I wouldn't. Oh, it made me watch Crown Jewel when I wouldn't otherwise, and I don't think that was the aim. What about counterbooking a charity Quizlemania next time? Think the audience would be there? Well, you see, the thing is with that, Danny, is that when we didn't do the Greatest Royal Rumble, we actually got people having a go at us for not reviewing it, because they'd watched it and they wanted us to review it. It's why we ended up doing them. We wanted to do like charity streams, and they're just thinking, yeah, maybe we'll do a Quizlemania. I mean, we only do them once a month now anyway. Nate S, who has been a member for 6 months in a row, Nate S. Xavier's post about his kids watching him was the most wholesome thing ever. Onion chopping tweet. Tyrone Kidd, I was so proud of Xavier being King of the Ring. You guys were saying that WWE gave us what we want, but more importantly, they gave him what he has always wanted.
True.
Love that. When he won, he said, oh, this was great. This is for Breeze. We missed you, Luke. Dad. Well, thank you so much for that. Thank you everyone in the comments as well who's been giving me well wishes since coming back. It's great to be back, everyone. Mr. CJ Lee says, hey, guys, welcome back, Luke. What did you think of the PWI 150 best female list? Bianca proves that she deserves the number one spot. I have to say, Alexa at 77 is far too low. How do you think she's going to return? Congrats again. I would remind you, Chris, it's a kayfabe list.
Yes.
She hasn't won a title. That's going to knock you down massively. It's not based on in-ring acumen or anything like that. It's based on accomplishments. She hasn't had any accomplishments this year. I mean, especially did beat Randy Orton. So maybe that's what got her to 77. So yeah, exactly. Like that. But that is why.
I mean, I love that Deonna Purrazzo was number 3, Britt Baker was number 4. I would have loved Thunder Rosa to be a little bit higher, but I can't complain about the top 10 of the PWI Women's 150.
No, same here. Legit Underboss said, CM Punk, no one's going to top this return. Shibata, hold my beer. Luke, all right, boys, let me show you how this is all done. Swear.
We got all of those in the last 2 months. Let's go.
Shibata, man. Do you know what? It was so funny. So I was in the office yesterday doing some stuff for Cineworld, and producer Rich was like, he was there doing his producing work. And I saw the Shibata thing. And I turned to him and said, Rich, do you want a spoiler from the G1? And he went, I mean, yeah, go on then. Tell me what it is. Who won? And I said, oh, that match hasn't actually started yet. But Shibata just had a match. And he went, huh. Wait, what? Like, it was a proper, like, double down. I'm like, you just, hold on. What, Shibata?
an actual match. I was like, yeah, but I mean, basically, like, he didn't take any bumps or anything, but he had like a 5-minute exhibition match with Zack Sabre Jr. of all people. And then he said afterwards, the next is going to be a real match. Oh, I'm so happy. So happy for Shibata. That's so great.
We got Brian Danielson. We've gotten Shibata, like Christian coming back, Edge. Like, it's so great when someone that you think is done, is their career is over, can come back, especially the injury he had, brain surgery. Like, it's crazy that he was back. And what a moment, what a high and what a low that G1 finals was with Ibushi going down at the end. But I love the Shibata moment.
Absolutely. Jaden McNally said, who do you think you are? I am. Mayor of Painesville, Dan, says, hello, Luke and SP3. Wait, Luke, woohoo! Welcome back, man. Welcome back. Hope I missed you lots. Hope everything is well. How hard was it to leave the kid for work? I hope it's not too hard. Best weekend wishes to everyone. She's just downstairs. So I said my little goodbye to her before I finished lunch. Leaving yesterday felt a bit weird, I'll be honest with you, like going to work. But you know, my wife is the greatest human being I've ever met in my life, so she's got this. But that is all we've got time for on this edition of the show. Please, they're going to be spamming the link for it right now in the chat. Go and watch Ollie's punishment video. It's amazing, the Judas in my mind. But thank you, SP3, for coming onto this show. Everyone go support Wrestling Daily. Support True Heel Heat as well. An incredible, incredible YouTube channel. You, my friend, I'm so glad that we got to do this show together again, because we haven't done a show together like this in a while, like just the two of us. So I'm very, very pleased for that. Shill away, my friend, before you get out of here.
You can find me over on the True Heel Heat YouTube channel, True Heel Heat 148, tomorrow, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time, 4:05 p.m. UK, with Stephanie Hypes as our special guest. Go over and subscribe over there. Of course, Wrestling Daily YouTube channel later today. Alex will be with the NWA podcast from Post Wrestling every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as 8 p.m. UK. And then you can catch me over on the Sports Keto Wrestling YouTube channel in about 1 minute with Jeremy Lambert of Fightful to preview Bound for Glory.
Yeah, I mean, what a fun show that's going to be as well. Inspiration. Yes. Braun for Glory, you might say. Thank you all so much for watching. For anyone wondering, Denise was a bit busy, so that's why Denise isn't doing the show next week. But Team Danuk rides together again next Friday with Chris Van Vliet as our special guest on this show, the most handsome man I've ever met in my life. So thank you all so much for, apart from SP3, of course. So thank you all so much for joining us here. Have a great weekend, everyone. It's fun to be back. I've been the kind. That was SP3, and that was wrestling. Jam that jam, everyone. Jam that jam. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.